Most of you were here this morning and not seeing Sean, but I'd like to thanks to Sean for his exhort this morning. He inadvertently touched on a lot of points that I'm going to be trying to make this evening. But as Sean does, Sean came at them from more of a emotional perspective. It seems to me that one of my character flaws will be I am a little too factual. So hats off to Sean, probably hiding in the back. Somehow we'll make a good team. So, how small are we? The title for this lecture or presentation is sort of posed as a question. And questions usually require answers. And I do not have a definite answer for this question. So I would like to change the topic to recording in progress. No, just kidding. Only by simply changing the last two words around, we can read it as how small we are. Now we have a statement that I can relay information to you, and you can make the decision to either agree with the statement in the title or disagree and pretend that mankind is the greatest thing and has all the world problems covered. So I would like to begin with relaying a few basic ideas on numbers. The actual digits, not the book of. Just for us to fully comprehend the actual size of the world that we live in. By the end of my examples, I hope we can all see how truly insignificant we are. Don't worry and give up hope just yet. The second part of the lecture, I hope to build us all back up again so we have good reason to carry on our existence. So to begin with, I would like us to come to a full understanding about these digits, numbers, and the vast quantities that they represent. We all use numbers every day, but I feel, at least I don't, have a full comprehension of how far they actually extend. We use them to measure distance, time, and the all-important monetary system. So, being very factual and very physical, I need things to look at. So, comparison. I use sugar crystals because they are readily available at Walmart. And they fit in the budget.
One.
10.
One 100. Can barely see those ones until we start getting into the multiples. Something on that one. Okay, finally we get into something we can visually see without a microscope. So, if we all get up out of our seats here and walked out the front door to get a jug of milk, say we needed cream for coffee after and forgot to bring it, we would go to the University Heights Mall. That's approximately 1.8 kilometers away, and it would take a brisk 15-minute walk to get there. We could make the return trip on foot and be back before the end of this lecture. It's a fair distance, but no big deal. I might drive because it's too far to walk. the human race lives on the planet Earth. Sometimes, when explaining a concept to a child, we will use the phrase, the whole wide world. We use this emphasis to describe something really big or very extensive. For example, he was the tallest man in the whole wide world. Keep looking at Matt because he's the tallest guy in the whole wide hall. That's including everyone on the planet. The Earth is approximately 40,000 kilometers in circumference around the equator. And it houses about 8 billion people. 40,000 kilometers, that's a lot longer than it is to walk down to University Heights Mall. That's quite a big area. Not really. Digression. Some of you will remember my white work van that I had. Bought it new in 94, sold it in 2021. I had it for 27 years, and I racked up well over 500,000 kilometers on the odometer. Just to tie that fact in, that is 12 times around the equator of the world. Now that has to be quite a great distance, right? Hardly. We're just getting started. I have a video to follow just to give us a little better scope on things. So before the first video, I'd like to change gears a little bit from distance and use money as our pictorial guide to help our weak carnal minds to grasp the concept. I'm going to relay some facts found on the internet. Of course, all the information may or may not be 100% accurate, but I feel it will aid in getting my idea across. So if we start at the bottom of the list, let's look at the median income of certain countries. The median income is the midpoint of combined salaries for the whole country. It is a little more accurate than an average because it isolates the extreme cases. So starting out with the bottom six median incomes. Number six, the Central African Republic, $491. Guinea, $486. Malawi, $484. Burundi, $475. Madagascar, $398. And the Congo Republic comes in at an affluent $395 per person per year. Very small incomes. So to compare those to the top six incomes, I worked in Canada just so we have something to relate to. Number six is Canada, the true north, strong and free. $18,652. The United States next door, $19,306. Switzerland, $21,490. Norway, $22,684. The UAE, United Arab Emirates, $24,292. Top of the list for richest is in Luxembourg. $26,321 median income. So I am very thankful and very blessed that all of us here seem to be above the median income rate while we're working. And I believe all of us here to be very fortunate to be above the numbers that are presented to us in both of the previous lists. God has provided for all of us very well, which makes our lives quite easy in this affluent society we live in. Next demo. One million sugar crystals. What would money be without getting into real estate? Last year, my property and house assessment came in a little bit north of $1 million. Anyone who's in the market or is in the tedious process of paying the bank back for the wooden boxes we live in can see my point. $1 million house here in Victoria is no big deal. The average selling price for a home is $1.2 million. Fun fact, just to tune us into the value of $1 million. Back in 1968, Marva Drew sat down at her manual typewriter, and she began hammering away at the keys, typing out only the digits, not the words. She typed out the numbers 1 to 1 million. She completed her task in 1974. So that is 6 years she will never get back. For my lack of table space, I will stop my physical sugar demo at 1 million, somewhat for practicality, somewhat for budget.
Hopefully everybody can read that. That is 1 billion.
Sorry, those on Zoom, that is 1 billion. But before, yes, 1 billion is 1,000 million. As the numbers got larger, I began weighing the amounts so to still be accurate, but not waste the rest of my life counting sugar crystals. So 1 million grains of sugar weighs about 10 kilos. Doing the simple math gave me an estimated weight of 10,000 kilograms of sugar. That would make 1 billion crystals. This is the equivalent to the weight of 5 mid-sized cars. And after a few more calculations, 1 billion sugar crystals fits on a forklift pallet that is, my example here, 8 feet wide, 6 feet long, and 5 feet high. It's 240 feet, cubic feet of sugar crystals. So to get into understanding the multiple of billions, we need to look at the two richest men in the world. The second richest man is the founder of Amazon. His name is Jeff Bezos, and his net worth is a measly $178.8 billion. The richest man in the world, who we all know as the pioneer of the Tesla car, Elon Musk, who tops the charts with a staggering net value of $223 billion. So making an educated guess and throwing a tape measure around a little bit, if he had a dollar for every grain, or if he had a grain of sugar for every dollar, his wealth would fill this entire room at least twice, floor to ceiling, wall to wall. So, now that we've hit the limitations on our carnal brains, I'd like to show you a video. And this video just scratches the surface. Just on that last frame, the universe, it said, well, it has a measurement there, 150 billion light years across with a greater than. So, it's larger than that. Guess what? That's not all. The universe goes on to eternity. So what is even more stunning is the whole universe was created by God with all of mankind's technology. We can only see part of it. And that distance already boggles the mind. We use a lot of big words when we talk about God. Omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. He is all-powerful, all-present, and all-knowing. And these words express the upper limit of our ability to understand power, wisdom, and time. In Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, we read, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." This verse states that God is infinitely different from us in his thoughts and ways. God is so immense, we cannot even begin to understand his existence. We can't possibly hope to understand what God is thinking because his thoughts transcend our own. But we can ask him questions and pray that he points us to something that we can understand. This will bring us to our second section in our lecture. What does God, creator of the universe, see in us? Well, yes, I typed that into Google search as well, and it came up on the screen. About 6,110,000,000 results. So after sitting through the first part of this lecture, hopefully we all have a more concrete, substantial concept and view of larger numbers. God is the omnipotent creator who made all things, and that includes us. Being the perfect creator, it's not like we are an accident. We have to realize our purpose that we do have on this earth. And I believe it to be a little more simple than the over 6 billion results the internet has. So if we break it down to the basis, we read from Numbers 14:21, "As truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord." Might I suggest that today's world is a long way from that beautiful image? But to answer the question, what does God want from us? Well, it's easy to say, but impossible for our mortal bodies and minds to achieve. Despite our lack in size in this universe, we have been given an important job to look after the earth, which God created. We have been put in charge of it. I have a few references that I've picked out that assure us of our value in this vast world that we live in. So I'm going to list them off in rapid succession. and read them out, so there is no need to turn them up. So you can just sit back, listen and absorb. Hopefully you can follow the connection I have made. These all relate to the topic at hand and the points I am trying to make. James 3 verse 4. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small rudder, whithersoever the helmsman driveth. Matthew 17 verse 20. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. Luke chapter 12 verses 6 and 7. Are not five sparrows sold for two farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. And Luke 12, verse 24. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouses or barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? So hopefully after those few verses, we are feeling a little more validated about our minute existence. How valid are these statements? They come straight from the pages of the Bible. Once again, I typed into the old Google, what are the odds of Bible prophecy being true? This is not a Christianic view or anything. This is from Google. This is where we lean on science to confirm the Bible due to just the sheer size of probability. Using only 8 different prophecies, a professor and his 300 students calculated the chances of one man, Jesus Christ, fulfilling only 8 of the prophecies that are made throughout the Bible. The probability was 1 in 10 to the 17th power. That's the equivalent. Okay, we don't have enough room in this room for me to give you a sugar demo. So I'll have to give you a verbal visual. So that's the equivalent of covering the whole province of BC with loonies laid down flat, edge to edge. Pile them 17 inches deep and pick the right one. That's covering the whole province. 17 inches works out to 221 layers of loonies. So that's fairly persuasive odds that the Bible is a truly inspired word of God. Now that we are feeling quite minimal in respect to the massive universe we habitate, I would like to show one more video on the complexity of our being and how large we are in comparison to the infinite details that make up our existence, all created by our Heavenly Father. So you have to bear with me on the quality of this video. It's almost a child-based but it moves at a very rapid pace, almost hard to follow. But it gives us an idea of what we are working with. Okay. So if we break things down to the center core of our makeup and everything else in the physical world, we find out that we are not really that small. Our bodies are a compilation of many atoms all working together. Side note, just because of the I'm into the number thing. The estimated number of atoms in your average human person is 7 octillion. That's 7 followed by 27 zeros. Ants only have 500,000. So another line of thought I would like to relay at this time is how we can learn from other species. So let's look at the ant. Very small compared to us in stature, but very wise and productive in nature. The wisest man that has ever lived wrote about the ants in Proverbs 6, verses 6 to 8. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which, having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. So what can we intelligent humans learn from this tiny insect? A number of crucial examples can be gleaned right down to our basic core. The ant is an industrious creature. They are diligent and hardworking. Ants teach us the value and benefits of persistence and hard work. Ants are never lazy. Neither are they poor nor hungry. Their efforts and hard work sustains them. Ants are a prime example of what it means to be self-motivated. Size and location of where to harvest their food from is not a problem. They know the task at hand and just get it done, even when the load is 20 times their own body weight. Ants also teach us to plan ahead. They know the harvest season will end and prepare for the necessity to store food for the hard times. The last lesson I'm going to speak on tonight regarding the ant is teamwork and unity. Ants know that they can accomplish more by working together rather than by working alone. Ants don't leave their fellow ants alone when carrying huge objects. They help each other, making it easier to achieve their common goal. In an ant colony, no ant is a spectator. They all collaborate to get the work done. Each category of ant, the queen, drones, and the workers, is aware of their specific duty and performs it. They just all know their role and do it. Imagine our human world if everyone was like that. Not wanting to be a celebrity or looking up to Hollywood stars, humans are too concerned with their own appearance, their own image these days. It has come down to, on the internet, to people lying and faking who they are so they can impress other people who they don't know and will never meet. All compliments of social media. And all this fakery gets them money. 1 Timothy 6 verse 10 reads, "For the love of money is the root of all evil." It's not the actual money that's the problem. It's the love of the money. Word on the internet is that Elon Musk, our favorite character of the night, recently paid $44 billion to take over Twitter. I admit I am not a user of Twitter, but I just see this as an example of how wrong our world is going. Money has a tendency to turn people selfish and not steer them towards the selflessness and teamwork required to make us righteous. The lesson learned from the ants will relate to the ecclesial body as well. One member on their own is minuscule. In order to become effective, we have to work together as a body of Christ to become a whole unit. Yes, we are small in the scope of creation, but we have the most important job. God has created us and this world and left us to be the guardians of his creation. Genesis 1 verse 28, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." The same charge was given to Noah after the flood. And this echoes down through the generations and now rests on our shoulders. There is many examples in the Bible for us to look up to. And we can look at their acts recorded for us. Their faithful actions that we can learn from. I like to admire Abraham. Even though he was one man, composed of the same particles as we are, and living in the same infinite universe as we do, he did his part exceptionally well and was marked down in the faith chapter of Hebrews 11. He did all that God asked of him, including the willingness to offer up his son. Recently in my family, directly and indirectly, I've witnessed a few losses of life. Some expected and some not. We spend our whole lives knowing we will die. This prepares us for the inevitable. What our weak carnal minds can't grasp is when one is taken at a young age. Looking to Abraham, who was self-willing to offer his son up for God, is beyond my scope of imagination. Cannot fathom how he could have the faith and the strength to do that. But that is why I am here in this building tonight, because I want to be like that. It is in all of our best interests to strive to be like that. If we want to be in God's everlasting kingdom here on the earth, that has been requested of us. A simple request for our small bodies in a big world. So to conclude tonight, aside from a lot of large numbers and sweet demonstrations, I probably haven't said anything you already didn't know about. I haven't come up with any groundbreaking ideas or a new view on a particular example of faith. I've compared our physical size to the extremities in the universe, and I've broken our size down into the microscopic makeup of our physical being. But what we do with our working minds is what really matters. Yes, we are small, but have the potential to be very, very great.